Folks, I'm going to prelude this podcast with a little something. I woke up throughout the middle of the night feeling pretty sick. Headache, cold sweats, throat being sore, all that good stuff that I'm sure none of you really care about that much. But regardless, just hear me out. I woke up feeling pretty terrible, couldn't sleep throughout the night. But you know, I think there was at least one group of people in this world that felt worse than I did throughout the middle of the night, and that be the haters of the boat. Blake Bortles haters. After he pretty much, you know, without a run game, dismantled the New England Patriots as the Jaguars left TIAA Bank Field last night with a 31-20 victory over their rival from the AFC Championship game. Welcome back to Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Thank you for joining me today. You can be sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall. Follow my co-host as well, Chris Thornton at Misto Christopho. He is unable to join me because he's so sweet. He covered my work shift because I knew I needed to call out feeling that bad. Still don't feel as bad as the Blake Bortles haters, to which there are many though. I'm going to go ahead and break down the performance from yesterday, give you guys a look at what really was good from this game, what really stood out. There's some bad news as well, injury news that I'll get to in a little bit that you may have already heard, but something that we can talk about a little bit. Be sure to throw us a subscription over at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you can find podcasts. Just look up Locked On Jaguars. Hit that subscribe button, leave a rating and review, follow the Locked On Jaguars account on Twitter, and also check out the website, LockedOnJaguars.com. So, as I mentioned, this was Bortles' game. Obviously, Leonard Fournette was out of the game with his hamstring injury. I believe that was the best decision to make. You don't risk Fournette's health for a long period of time in Week 2 against a non-divisional opponent. While this Patriots game was certainly important in terms of, you know, the excitement around the stadium, being an AFC, you know, team that you're facing that you could end up being a higher seed over in the playoffs, it wasn't a divisional game. Those are the most important games. They have one coming up this week against the Tennessee Titans. I would much rather have Fournette fully healthy for that rather than have him be partially healthy for this game against the Patriots and get hurt again and be limited throughout the rest of the year. So, with Fournette being out, they relied in the run game on TJ Yeldon, Corey Grant, and someone who they signed from the practice squad just the day before in Brandon Wilds. Oh, and they also had one more contributor to this run game, the second leading rusher on the team yesterday. That be the boat as well, Blake Bortles. They combined, as well as a handoff to, a screen pass behind the line to Dede Westbrook, counted as a rush. So, all in all, including all of their stats, they ran the ball 24 times for 104 yards. No scores, but a long of 20. Bortles himself had 6 carries for 35 yards, including this one play where he nearly converted a first down, but he took quite the hit. I was shocked that he wasn't concussed. It was helmet to helmet. He lowered his helmet to try and get across the first down marker. He didn't end up getting it, but it was just about as ballsy as it could have been. And you could tell he was in pain as soon as he took that hit, but he got right back up and kept playing. He scored another touchdown, not on that drive, but the drive after, so it didn't seem to affect him too much. In the passing game, when we get to the passing game, it was just about as perfect of a performance as you could have possibly asked for out of the fifth-year quarterback, going 29 for 45, really relying on him throughout the entire game for 377 yards, 4 touchdowns, an interception that you really can't put on him either. It hit Austin Seferian Jenkins in the hands. There were about 2 or 3 defenders that were around Seferian Jenkins. They kind of batted it out as Seferian Jenkins was trying to get it down, so it wasn't even that bad of a drop, and someone ended up coming down with the ball. But you take that out, or Seferian Jenkins catches it, and there's no interceptions on the day. It was a stellar performance from Bortles, probably the best in his career, if not one of the best, and he was able to make throws all over the field. There was a lot of underneath routes thrown, like the touchdown to Dede Westbrook. He threw that about 3 yards behind, in front of the line of scrimmage, and Westbrook then turned and took it 61 yards for a score. There was the perfectly thrown ball to Keelan Cole on the outside, where Cole made probably the best catch of 2018, if not in the past couple of years. It was incredible. They've got it up on the Locked On, no, not the Locked On Jaguars, the Jaguars Twitter handle, as well as my own handle. I've got the video posted there. Be sure to check that out. It was absolutely incredible. A lot was done in the passing game in terms of spreading the ball around. I'm counting it up right now. It looks like 9 players caught a pass yesterday. Leading receiver being Keelan Cole with 7 receptions, followed by Corey Grant had 6. Dede Westbrook and Dante Moncrief both had 4. Safarian Jenkins had 3. TJ Yeldon had 2. Niles Paul, James O'Shaughnessy, and DJ Chark all had 1. So the ball was really well spread around. And all in all, just the passing game was clicking. It worked. I don't know how, when the pressure obviously came to the passing game without Fournette being there, but it just worked perfectly. And they stayed aggressive. That was the most important part of this game. The Jaguars did remain aggressive in the second half, unlike their AFC Championship game against the Patriots, where they kind of sat on the lead. They didn't do that this time around. They set up a real great game plan. They were able to shut down Rob Gronkowski on defense. Tashaun Gibson did a great job covering Gronkowski. He only had 2 receptions for 15 yards on 4 targets. The defense played great as well, and I'll get into the defense a little bit more after our first break. But the offense did a spectacular job. They took what the defense gave them and even more. It was perfect. And we'll get right into the defense when we come back from this quick break. So now we will move things over to the defensive side of the ball in this Jaguars 31-20 win over the New England Patriots. The pass rush, despite not as many sacks 2 games into the year as they had last year, still looks to be just as good as it was in terms of pressure that they're getting on the quarterback. Yannick Ngakoue hasn't even recorded a sack yet, and I'm pretty sure he's already at double-digit pressures on the year. Obviously, people want to see him get sacks, but there's a lot of stuff that doesn't show up on the stat sheet that you have to take a look at, going back and watching the film, seeing how much pressure he's putting on, making other people's jobs easier. The 2 sacks that did happen yesterday came from cornerback DJ Hayden and edge rusher Dante Fowler Jr. Fowler, after his 1-game suspension, people were really looking forward to this game for him because he had 2 sacks in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots, so people were ready to see just what he would unleash against the team that he played so well against last year, as well as obviously coming back from the suspension, seeing what he'd be able to do. And he forced a crucial strip sack fumble near the end of the game. The Patriots were starting to drive again. It started to get a little scary at one point because the Patriots were starting to carve up a little bit. They were starting to put some points on the board. People were starting to get the anxiety feeling that they had last year in the AFC Championship game when they started to make their comeback and actually ended up winning. But Fowler made a crucial, crucial strip sack play on Tom Brady. Jaguars got the ball back, and I'm relatively sure that's the same drive that Dede Westbrook then scored on to really put this game away for the Jaguars at that point. There was just not enough time for the Patriots to come back and make anything happen. So that was a huge play by him. Hayden, like I said, having a sack, 2 tackles for loss as well. He's filling into this nickel corner role extremely well. Yeah, he's making a lot of plays. There was the play last week against New York on 4th down where he was sticky in coverage, made the pass break up. He's putting pressure on the quarterback when they call for nickel corner blitzes, which is something that you're starting to see a lot of, kind of like last year, past couple of years really with Aaron Colvin, because he was able to do that as well. It's a really interesting concept that this Jaguars defense is very good at strategizing, and I look forward to seeing Hayden do a lot more of that. We saw a lot of Ronnie Harrison on the field as well. He had 7 tackles yesterday. They ran a lot of 3 safety sets. When they announced that Leon Jacobs was a healthy scratch and it was a schematic thing, we knew we'd be seeing a lot of nickel and a lot of 3 safety sets as well. Harrison playing a big nickel type of role. And speaking of safeties, we also mentioned this a little bit earlier. Sean Gibson absolutely shut down Rob Gronkowski. He was the one who was taking on Gronk throughout the majority of the day, not Jalen Ramsey or AJ Boye or Miles Jack. It was Sean Gibson that made a bunch of plays. He was able to really just shut Gronk down. Gronk wasn't getting open. He made a couple of underneath plays, but they weren't anything crucial to the Patriots moving the ball well. Gibson just did a great job. You didn't hear too much about Ramsey because he did a pretty solid job in coverage, other than he allowed a touchdown to Chris Hogan at one point. That was on a short slant route by the looks of it, in the red zone. Otherwise, not too much really say good or bad about him. He was pretty quiet throughout the day. Otherwise, it was a good game by the defense. They didn't make a ton of flashy plays. They were just able to stop the Patriots from moving the ball. And that's crucial, because if you can stop Tom Brady from moving the ball, you can stop anyone from being able to move the ball. And we look forward to seeing just how they'll do in the next couple of weeks. I do have a feeling within the next couple of weeks they will start to break out some big plays, more sacks, maybe some interceptions or more fumble recoveries. The turnover team that they were last year, I think we'll start to see that against opponents like the New York Jets, like the Tennessee Titans, teams like that that have a more question marks, turnover-prone quarterbacks like Sam Darnold for New York. Obviously, Blaine Gabbert starting last week for the Tennessee Titans, whether it be him or Mariota. I do think the Jaguars finally end up getting a win over the Titans. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about injury news and looking forward to week three against the Tennessee Titans. So, with all this good news, there is some bad news. Cam Robinson, left tackle for the Jaguars, went down pretty early in the game, and people feared the worst. Looked like it was an issue with his left knee, and he ended up tearing his ACL. They did an MRI last night and found that out. He will miss the remainder of the season. The promising second-year left tackle was really starting to find his stride after an up-and-down preseason. He played very well against the Giants. He was starting to play very well against the Patriots and then taken out of the game pretty early. So they have a question mark now at left tackle. Josh Wells ended up playing a decent game yesterday. I've seen him get a lot of praise. There were some plays that he let up some pressure that wasn't very good, but we need to see him in an atmosphere where he's starting to kind of get a glimpse as to what he can offer this team. With left guard Andrew Norwell in-house, who played a very great game yesterday, he might have a lot of help coming from Norwell being right next to him, but we'll see. It wouldn't shock me if they make some calls during the week to try and sign some free agents. Will Pails, former Jaguar who spent last year on the team's practice squad and this offseason with the team. He got a lot of reps at right tackle during the entire offseason program, but they kind of viewed him as a swing guy. I would not be shocked if he got a call and ended up back with the team this week, but we will see. He just seems like a guy that would end up being comfortable. Throughout the offseason program, there were days where Jeremy Parnell wasn't practicing, and Pails ended up getting the first team, second team, and third team reps at right tackle. So, obviously, a guy that I'm sure the Jaguars would feel comfortable with if they needed him, so I'm sure they'll make that call. Then we can look forward to Tennessee. That game will be at TIAA Bank Field, the second home game in a row for the Jaguars. They look to finally win a game against the Titans, something they haven't done since the 2016 season. They got swept last year by the Titans. The Titans did beat the Texans yesterday, but they do have either Blaine Gabbert or Marcus Mariota starting at quarterback, neither of which being ideal for that team. Still a lot of question marks for that team. Their defense does look a lot better, but considering the way the offense played yesterday, especially if they get Fournette back by that time, I'm not too worried about this Titans game whatsoever. I do think the Jaguars will pull out a win. And that's something we will break down during the rest of the week here at Locked On Jaguars. But for now, I'm going to go ahead and sign out. Hope you guys enjoyed that game yesterday as much as I did. That was a tremendous game. I know Chris enjoyed himself as well being at the game. It was fantastic. It was great to see these Jaguars get their revenge on the New England Patriots. So make sure to subscribe to Locked On Jaguars on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you can find podcasts. Leave a rating and review. Follow on Twitter at Locked On Jaguars, at Zach underscore Goodall, at Misto Cristofo, and we will catch up with you guys next couple of days.